I'm Mark Bashore. America's combat mission in Iraq and Afghanistan is officially over, but some support troops still remain in those countries. The demands on the U.S. military are many, and the Army's planning to do its job with fewer soldiers. The Pentagon says the Army will cut some 40,000 troops and 17,000 civilians from its ranks over the next 2 years. Current State's Kevin Lavery is here to explain. And Kevin, you heard this information straight from the top, I hear.
That's right, Mark, I did. Brigadier General Malcolm Frost is the Army Chief of Public Affairs, the top spokesman. He was in mid-Michigan to meet with National Guard officials and some reporters like me. I caught up with him at MSU yesterday. General Frost says when the cuts come down, there'll be about 450,000 soldiers on active duty, which is pretty low for the United States Army.
I will tell you that that is the smallest level force structure, the lowest number of troops that we've had in a number of decades. So I'll tell you that all the slack has been taken out of the rope for us to be able to execute the current missions that we've been asked to do, and then to be able to execute the defense strategic guidance and execute the missions for the national military strategy. We can do that, but I think going below 450,000, if you look at the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the secretary of the Army, and the chief of staff of the Army's testimony, they outline the risk pretty clearly if we go below that number. And not just that, though, you saw that also the 17,000 civilians, Department of the Army civilians, that will also be cut.
Earlier this week, two members of our Michigan congressional delegation toured Fort Custer. That's an Army training site just outside Battle Creek. It's on a short list as a possible missile defense site. It's also being looked at for an enhanced cybersecurity mission. How central a role is cyber warfare taking in the 21st century?
In the 27 years that I've been in the United States Army, this is the most uncertain, the most volatile, and most complex time in my service around the world. There are threats in multiple areas. Cyber is obviously a very, very big threat right now. It is a new area where, quite frankly, you have folks that have access to the internet who may have violent or extremist ideologies that now can utilize technology and can get to a near parity with a lot of different nations around the world. So that's a pretty big threat, as well as obviously state-sponsored cyber. So that is a threat that is being looked on at the national level, not just that, but at the Army level, as we build our cyber teams to be able to execute operations, as cyber is one domain amongst many in operations out there, but also support to civil authorities if and when asked. So I wouldn't couch the threat as just one. There are many that are out there. It's just a very, very uncertain, very volatile, and a very complex period in our nation's history, especially on the heels of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan winding down, although we still have forces deployed in both of those areas.
We're talking with Brigadier General Malcolm Frost. He's the Chief of Public Affairs for the United States Army. You mentioned our continued presence in Iraq. Do you see the actions of the group ISIS having an impact on the Army's recruiting program?
I think there are always young Americans that are willing to serve something that's greater than themselves, to serve an uncommon life, and I feel that that is what the United States Army provides. I think that our young Americans are smart enough to look at the varied threats around the world, and that they want to defend freedom and justice, not just here at home, but around the world in those ideas. And not just that, but make sure our nation's secure. So I think ISIL is definitely one of the motivations for us being able to recruit, but there are a lot of other reasons why young Americans come into the United States Army. So bottom line is we're looking for those that want to serve.
We have had some reports in the last 3 or 4 years about the Army suicide rate among veterans who have been in combat. I don't have figures in front of me right now, but I have heard anecdotally that at times the suicide rate has exceeded the combat death rate. How is the Army taking this head on and trying to come up with some resolution to this?
Well, suicide and the post-traumatic stress is a big issue and concern in the United States Army. We've created our Soldier for Life initiative, where what we're trying to do is look holistically at not just the medical care, but also the total fitness of every single soldier in the United States Army, and whether that's physical fitness, whether it's mental fitness. And we have a multitude of programs to be able to assist soldiers in the Army, but not just in the Army. We've worked very closely with the Veterans Affairs Administration, because while you're a soldier, we're working through transitions of those soldiers into the veterans and into the VA, so that they can continue to get any assistance that they might need, and treating soldiers as soldiers for life, not just soldiers in the United States Army. So it's a very, very important program where we're partnering with the VA. Not just that, but the jobs aspect. because often veterans come out and they need employment. So we're working with private sector as well and other public sectors to be able to gain some advantages and be able to demonstrate the aptitude and the capabilities that young leaders and soldiers who have served in the United States Army, what they can provide in the private sector and the public sector outside of the Army, and are working those corporations and those entities to be able to facilitate that transition. So a lot of different aspects looking at this to try and combat not just the effects of suicide, but post-traumatic stress, and then the transition to employment activities outside the United States Army.
Are you able to comment at all on the Veterans Administration hospital system's backlog and their efforts to reduce that?
No, I would refer you to the VA for that. But what I can tell you is that we're doing a reorganization of our medical command inside the United States Army, going from 15 different commands to four regional commands that holistically look at everything from dental to medical to transition, and really trying to gain efficiencies and effectiveness in our medical command system, be able to provide the best care that we can to soldiers while they're in the United States Army. And that consolidation will go on for the next couple of years.
How much is the Army relying on social media these days to reach out to its future soldiers and also for internal communications?
Social media, kind of like cyber, it's a growing entity. We have a social media division in the Office of Chief of Public Affairs. We train our public affairs professionals to use social media. We have a long way to go, and we also have to be agile because social media is always changing. We are training, looking at programs to train older leaders, such as myself, and I'm just one of many spokespersons for the United States Army. I have a media relations division and a social media division that manages really the 10 social media and websites that the United States Army runs. And we have the Secretary and the Chief of Staff of the Army that obviously communicate much. So when you look at cyber and information operations and social media out on the tactical edge, all of those things kind of come together from a messaging standpoint, from pushing out not just your narrative, but also countering narratives or false narratives out there. So it's very, very important. It's a growth industry, and we're investing a lot of time and resources to get better at it. I would just put a plug in for our, you know, army.mil. We have an Army app. We have social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram from the United States Army. So tremendously important, and one that we have to continue to invest a lot of time and resources in.
General, you touched upon this earlier. What are some of the partnerships that we're seeing between the regular U.S. Army and the Michigan Army and Air National Guard? In Michigan, we have no active duty bases, but there is some symbiotic relationship there.
Right. Well, you know, first and foremost, I would say what's important is the headquarters that we have here in our Army Materiel Command, TACOM. If you look at the Tank Automotive and Armaments Command, you know, the bottom line is if a soldier wears it, drives it, shoots it or eats it, then you know, Tank Automotive and Armaments Command develops and provides or sustains it. And that's pretty vital to us to be able to do our job. And TARDEC, so the Tank Automotive Research Development Engineering Center, if what it does is it researches, develops, and integrates, sustains the right technology solutions for all of our manned and unmanned Department of Defense ground systems and ground combat systems. So again, for us to be able to do our job, the headquarters that you have here in Michigan are vital. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do our job. So although there's no active bases, the headquarters that help us to synchronize all of those that I just said are here in Michigan. And quite frankly, if I understand it correctly, if my number's correct, we really, about 7,500 civilian and military employees on the Detroit Arsenal. TACOM is the second largest employer in Warren and the third largest in Macomb County. So I think there's, from an active duty standpoint, we have a lot that's invested here in Michigan. And to your question on partnership with the Guard, again, I think my meeting today kind of demonstrates how we're continuing to try and partner not just along cyber. They were in the Cyber Guard exercise, which was a multi-compo exercise. There are units from the 101st and other units that come up here and train with the Michigan Guard. You have Michigan Guard units that are supporting Operation Atlantic Resolve in Europe right now. The state partnership program with the Michigan Guard in Latvia and that connection with the U.S. Army Europe is very, very important, especially at this time with what's going on in Eastern Europe as we try and assure allies there. So, and we'll continue to explore ways to continue to partner with the Michigan Guard. But right now, I see no issues or problems, and I think it's a great relationship.
Brigadier General Malcolm Frost is the Chief of Public Affairs for the United States Army. General, it's a pleasure having you here at Michigan State. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciate you taking the time, and it's my honor to be here with you here at Michigan State University and in the great state of Michigan. Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Labrie.